Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Anne Gager. She is a senior researcher at the Biologic Institute. She earned her PhD in biology from the University of Washington and did a postdoc at Harvard University in molecular biology. Dr. Gager, thanks for coming on the show with us.
I'm glad to be here.
We wanted to discuss with you, Dr. Gager, an article you recently posted on Evolution News and Views titled, "What's Wrong with This Video from PBS? Or Rather, What Isn't?" I love the title. And you're commenting on a little short 4-minute PBS video that I guess was recommended by Jerry Coyne, the evolutionary biologist who does a lot of blogging. And you had some interesting comments about this video. So maybe could you just first sort of take us through what does this video say and why do you think this is worth talking about, really what's wrong with this video?
Well, the video is an attempt to show an idea, an old idea of how evolutionary change happens. The idea goes all the way back to Darwin. And the idea is that if you were to look at how things evolve over time, change would be imperceptible. It would happen so slowly that we couldn't actually see any change from one generation to the next. It would be so slow that you'd never be able to tell when one form, one species, became another. And they illustrate this by showing a stack of photos going all the way back to Tiktaalik, the fishy ancestor of us all, supposedly, up to modern man. And they pull out various photos, supposedly our ancestral history, and take us all the way back through the prevailing view of where we came from. What I find misleading about this video is, first of all, they're assuming that there would be a continuous stack of photos. That's misleading because the fossil record is not continuous. It's discontinuous. We don't have fossils showing us all the in-between stages. We have a fossil here and a fossil there, and we have theories about which lineages came from which lineages. We have theories about how the fossils are assembled into a tree of life. If it really were the case that we had a complete assemblage of fossils, then why would it happen that every now and again we get a new ancestral form trumpeted in the pages of science and nature saying, look, we found the new ancestral human or the new ancestral primate or the new ancestral fishy amphibian. That just shows that we really don't have the full picture of our history. The other thing that I find problematic about the video is it's stated as if this were the truth and as if this were the view of all evolutionary biologists. What this view is the old view that comes all the way from Darwin, the idea that evolution is a gradual, imperceptible process. And in fact, that's not the view held by all evolutionary biologists. The history of how people think about evolution has changed over time. Itself, it has evolved, if you want to make a joke about it. Evolutionary biologists keep revising their views of evolution based on data as it comes along. In a previous post on Evolution News and Views, I talked about how biology continues to surprise us. Well, in fact, the data does continue to surprise us, and scientists do continue to revise their views. And sometimes they revise them forwards, and sometimes they revise them backwards. Well, in the early 70s, two scientists named Niles Eldridge and Stephen Jay Gould proposed a new view of evolution called punctuated equilibrium. They did a careful analysis of the fossil record using mainly small shelly fossils like snails. They looked at the fossil records very carefully across many different places and times, and they found that, in fact, they didn't see a process of gradual change. They found instead that the fossils stayed the same for long periods and that they go from no change and then all of a sudden a split into two different species. So they said that it would be like a period of stasis, is the word they used, long periods of no change and then sudden splitting. So that's why they called it punctuated equilibrium, long periods of equilibrium with no change and then punctuated by sudden change. This was a new way of thinking about the process of evolution, but in a sense it fit in with models for how speciation might happen that were current in the day. The popular idea was that speciation happened when small populations got isolated from their original population, and because they were in small groups, their genetic information was limited and it led to concentration of rare alleles and sudden changes in genotypes, and therefore phenotypes and new species were formed rapidly. Now, it's not to say that Niles Eldridge and Stephen Jay Gould were creationists. They weren't proposing the sudden creation of new species. What they were proposing was that the transitions happened very rapidly in geologic time, maybe as fast as 5,000 years, maybe as fast as 100,000 years, so fast that they couldn't detect them in the geologic record. In fact, nobody knows how fast, because it's not detectable. The fact that this branching pattern happens rather than a gradual process of divergence contradicts what Darwin predicted in his theory. And it was a surprise to a lot of evolutionary biologists. Now, segue to the modern day period. Evolutionary thought has returned back to the old idea of sort of a population dynamic where there's gene flow and it's sort of a gradual transition between one population and a splitting of populations and a divergence gradually over time. So we've gone full circle. We've gone back from this punctuated equilibrium model to a more Darwinian model. And why, you might ask, why have we reversed direction? It's based on data coming from sequence analysis of genomes and the problems that they've encountered where they find out that human genome is similar to chimps in some ways and similar to gorillas in some ways. And that didn't fit with their models for how we were supposed to have been related to chimps, more closely related to chimps than to gorillas. Instead, they find that we're a little bit of both. And so then they had to come up with a model to explain that. What I see is that neither punctuated equilibrium nor this gene mixing and gene flow process fully explain the data. We need an alternate view of things to explain the data, and we haven't got it yet. I close with one other thing. The thing that was missing from the video, absolutely missing, and that was completely misleading, is the statement that there are, in fact, many groups of organisms that appear suddenly in the fossil record with no precursor. So there's no continuous record of all animal forms having been there and then evolving one from the other in a continuous line. In fact, there are many times in the fossil record where things seem to appear out of nowhere. The prime example is the Cambrian explosion, when something like 15 different phyla, major groups of animals, different as worms and crabs and sponges and jellyfish, all appear seemingly within 5 to 10 million years of each other. Jellyfish were a little earlier than that, and sponges too. There are no clear ancestors to those groups. They happen rapidly without any precursors. There's still arguments about whether there's any precursors at all. There are other examples, too. The appearance of insects in the fossil records. There's arthropod-like creatures, and all of a sudden there are insects. Clearly six-legged insects with the right mouth part, the right antennae, etc. Then there's the sudden appearance of winged insects. No clear antecedents for them. There's a sudden appearance of flowering plants. There's a sudden appearance of bats out of nowhere. There are transitions that happen in the fossil record way too fast that people like to claim are clear histories of transitions, but they happen so fast that it's really hard to account for them, such as the transition from a land mammal to a whale happened in about 5 million years, or the transition was supposed to be our ancestral primate to us happened in 6 to 8 million years. And nobody has a clear history of that lineage either. No, there's no clear fossil lineage thing. This is how it happened. We came from this and this and this and this. It's all isolated bones, isolated fossils, and nobody can draw a straight line saying, okay, this is ancestral to this and then this and then this. So the whole video was misleading. Paleontology is much more difficult, much more diverse, much more challenging than a stack of photos.
Dr. Gager, I really agree with your assessment of that video. Basically, it puts out this dumbed down version of evolutionary theory, or this very whitewashed version that says that changes happen so gradually, so slowly, that you cannot even mark the point at which a species begins. I certainly was not taught that when I studied evolutionary biology when I was in graduate school. I mean, that's actually a major focus of research in evolutionary biology, is to pinpoint exactly when a new species diverges. So the idea that you can't somehow pinpoint speciation event or when a new species has diverged. That's just not even representative of what evolutionary biologists think. But the reality, though, is, as you've said, is this whole video is endemic of, I think, greater problems within evolutionary biology, not just at the popular level, but at the scientific level, because you have this conundrum where, yeah, they expected gradual change to happen in the fossil record, but then they didn't find it. But they still don't have a good explanation for why that's what they find. And it's a real problem if you are an evolutionary scientist trying to account for the abrupt changes in the fossil record. And it's great that you raised punctuated equilibrium. It's good to remind folks who want to promote this dumbed-down version of evolutionary biology, there was a reason why many paleontologists have considered punctuated equilibrium. It's because the fossil record didn't show gradual change. Something tells me that the guy who made that PBS video, I think the title was "You're Smarter Than You Think You Are," I don't know if he really knows much about punk eek and the whole idea of the fossil record showing abrupt change. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but this just kind of tells you something about what PBS is putting out on the internet for people to learn about evolution. What are your thoughts, Dr. Gager, on the rhetorical sophistication of this PBS video?
I went online just to see what people were saying about punctuated equilibrium, just out of curiosity in response to this video, and I was very entertained to find an old post by Larry Moran of The Sandwalk, where he posted an old, I think it was a PBS video, of Niles Eldridge and Stephen Jay Gould talking about their research, made in the 70s. And at the very bottom of Larry Moran's post, you can look it up, he says, "I don't think even some evolutionary biologists understand punctuated equilibrium. And based on what I saw in this most recent video, and apparently if it's derived from Richard Dawkins' book, I would say that would have to be true."
Yes, The Magic of Reality is the book that this PBS video cites at the very end. I think that the host refers people to the book. Clearly, this is a video that is aimed at kids or maybe teenage kids. Magic of Reality was Richard Dawkins' book that he published for a middle school or high school reader a couple years ago. And it's full of false information about evolutionary science, overstating the case for the tree of life from the fossil record. So if that's where PBS is getting its scientific information, then you know it's going to be dumbed down. You know it's going to be inaccurate. You mentioned Larry Moran, Dr. Gager. Yeah, he's absolutely right that people don't understand punk eek. And I think if you look at the literature, in the technical literature related to punctuated equilibrium, you will actually find admissions that one of the biggest problems for punctuated equilibrium is the lack of a genetic mechanism that can explain these rapid changes that we find in the fossil record.
For other reasons, I ordered a book online, an old book published in the 1970s on chromosomal mechanisms of speciation. And this man has an axe to grind. He's a specialist in cytogenetics. That's a field of science where you look at chromosomal organization, how chromosomes differ from species to species, and how they interact during cell division. He has a whole series of descriptions of research that were done between what he calls complexes of species, like, for example, gerbils or mice present in different desert environments, where you could find one population that has 46 chromosomes and a neighboring population that has 48 chromosomes and another that has 50. And then you can ask the question, can they interbreed? And then he has a discussion about what kinds of rearrangements on chromosomes leads to infertility. And so his hypothesis is that rearrangements on chromosomes, when chromosomes break and reattach themselves in inversions or reattachments or translocations of different bits of DNA and chromosomes, it disrupts the pairing of chromosomes during cell division, during meiosis especially, which is the cell division that has to happen during the production of eggs and sperm. And if that happens, if meiosis is interrupted, you get infertility, the result, which means that if you have one population with one set of chromosomes and another neighboring population with a different set of chromosomes, they can't interbreed, and they're thereby automatically going to turn into different species. So his hypothesis is that if you have a small number of individuals that develop these different chromosomal aberrations, they can, under rare circumstances, turn into new species. interesting hypothesis, but it's fallen out of favor. And he wants to share it up with this old idea that isolated populations end up developing differences that lead to reproductive isolation, which then leads to speciation. So there are mechanisms that have been proposed, but they've fallen out of favor. And everything is now shifted to the ideas of gene flow, these ideas that the reason why we are the way we are is because we were all members of huge populations, 100,000, 10,000, and we just gradually drifted apart, and we got some gorilla genes and some chimpanzee genes. That's why we are the way we are. What goes around comes around. So I recommend people go back and look at that old 1970s PBS video that was actually very good with Niles Eldridge and Stephen Jay Gould. You can Google it. It's on YouTube. You want a real example of how people do science and how they change their views. That's good. Good video by PBS.
Well, Dr. Gager, I hope that we find maybe a higher level of discourse coming from the evolutionists who were trying to teach students about their theory on the internet, and maybe some criticisms of what we see from this PBS video. Hopefully, it'll help some folks to understand what's really going on with evolutionary theory. So we appreciate the writing you did, Dr. Gager, critiquing this video, and appreciate your time to come on the show with us today. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
Last year, Darwin's Doubt by Stephen Meyer launched the controversy over intelligent design into the stratosphere. A New York Times and Los Angeles Times bestseller, the book has been praised by a Harvard geneticist, debated in the pages of America's most prestigious science journal, and now it's just been released in paperback with a new chapter. Find out what the controversy is about. Get Darwin's Doubt today at darwinsdoubt.com. That's darwinsdoubt.com.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.